If you have your Bibles with you, we'll be turning first to 1 Timothy chapter 1, see verses 12 to 17, and this will tie into our theme of the fruit of the Spirit of patience. So we'll start 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 to 17. This is God's word. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our text is from Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which we read this morning as well. But this time we're looking at the fourth fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This afternoon then we come to the fourth fruit of the Spirit in a believer's life, the fruit of patience. Now it comes in that larger list of the fruit of the Spirit. You've heard them a few times now, and already a few times today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Paul, he gives us this list in Galatians 5. It is both encouraging and challenging for us. It's a little bit like he's holding up a mirror for each one of us to look into. He is telling us that a true believer will have all of these fruit of the Spirit. When a believer is united to Christ by faith, the Holy Spirit will be growing these fruit in us. So we can say, truthfully, a believer will have patience. Even this afternoon, one of the prayer requests specifically was for patience. We live in a world where we need patience. And even if, as you're hearing that, you're thinking, yikes, you know, patience, it's just not my strength. I find it hard to be patient. We're going to look at that in this sermon. But I want us to recognize early on that the patience that Paul is speaking of here, it's broader than just a general waiting or just letting the time pass by. When we think of patience, we often do think of waiting. We need patience when we're in traffic, waiting for packages to arrive, when you're sitting in the doctor's office. As a culture, I think it would be fair to say we are bad at waiting. Everything is so fast-paced. We live in an age that's determined to feed our impatience. We see that everywhere from our entertainment algorithms to fast food restaurants. And I think we all know it. We're often bad at waiting. And that's a problem. And it's a problem that Scripture definitely speaks to, but our text here in Galatians 5, verse 22, it goes beyond simply waiting. Patience does happen in time, but the fruit of the Spirit of patience, as Paul describes it here, is more about having a godly response in a world where things go wrong, in a world where our patience is tested in a world where we are wronged. The question is, can we exhibit a Christ-like patience under pressure? Well, this afternoon, we're going to consider the fruit of the Spirit of patience, and I want to work through it in 3 points with you. So we'll start by defining patience. So we'll look at what patience is. That'll be our first point, what patience is. Then our second point, how we obtain it. How we obtain it. And then third, how we live it. We can start with the definition. What is patience? If you were to take this specific word that Paul uses in the Greek and you were to look it up in a lexicon, you would find it is often translated, as we have it here in our ESV, as patience. And that's fitting. That is what it means. But in our modern English context, and with the way that we use that word patience, as I've already suggested, patience might just be a little bit broad. I don't often spend a lot of time on Greek words in my sermons. I'm not here every week, but I think you probably know that about me too. But the word that we see here, it's what we would call a compound word. It's bringing together two different words and mashing them together and making one word. So if you wanted an example of what this looks like in English, you could think of the word toothbrush. You have your teeth, you have a brush, you put them together, you have a toothbrush. Similarly, the two Greek words that make up this compound word would be these. They would be long and anger. Long anger. Now that's not saying that someone is angry for a long time. That'd be completely against what Paul wants us to get here. But the idea is of someone who is slow to grow angry. Long anger. Slow to grow angry. It can also be translated forbearance. Think of how someone does something wrong and yet there's a holding back. Or some Bible translations translate it long suffering. Long suffering. Paul's word here, it's more than just waiting. It's specifically about long-suffering and handling things in a godly, Christ-like way and with a godly response in trying circumstances. Sometimes those very providences God gives, especially in those times when we've been wronged by others. Now, a quick Google search, it defines patience this way. It says, patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. And in one sense, we could say that's not a bad start, but it doesn't go far enough. For a Christian, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we don't just passively accept and tolerate the things that happen to us. We are those who are called to be actively patient. We are to respond to those situations in a Christ-like way. We can't be surprised, but Google's definition has removed God from the picture. So it can't be a full definition. What then is a Christian definition of patience or long-suffering? In my preparation for the sermon, I read quite a number of different definitions of patience, but as I spent more time thinking and praying through Galatians 5:22, patience, the definition that eventually stood out most to me is from a Reformed pastor and theologian named Wilhelmus A. Brackel. He lived in the 1600s, died in the early 1700s. Now, it's a good definition, but I will forewarn you, it is a little bit long. So I will say it twice so we can get a little bit of an idea of it. I'll work through it slowly. He writes this, "This patience is the believer's spiritual strength, spiritually spirit-given, spiritual strength, which he has in God, whereby he, in the performance of his duty, willingly, with composure, joyfully, and steadfastly endures all the vicissitudes," and we're going to get words on words on words, but vicissitudes just means the changes of life. That they have a hope that the outcome will be well. So without my own commentary as we go through it, this is what he says. Patience is the believer's spiritual strength, which he has in God, whereby he in the performance of his duty, willingly, with composure, joyfully, and steadfastly endures all the vicissitudes of life, having a hope that the outcome will be well. I appreciate his definition because he recognizes that patience is an active virtue in a believer's life that is God-given. He then sets it in the context of the Christian life. He puts it in the context of our duty, what it looks like for us to be believers. He gets that our duty to God and to each other as Christians is happening in this world. That's where patience gets tested. This world with all the mess and the challenge and the pain that we face. This is a world that can be hard. It's a world with suffering. It's a world where we do at times need to wait long. And yet patience without resentment or bitterness or revenge in the face of things ranging from those simple annoyances, ridicule, rejection, the failure of friends, up to outright willful persecution. It's in the fight for holiness that our patience is needed. We live in a world that's used to giving as well as it can get. It's almost one of the virtues of our world, revenge, or even the smallest affront. We live in a world that always demands having that last word, a world that fights and bickers over the smallest of things, and sadly, and too often, maybe you can catch yourself here, the last word is an ugly and an escalated jab that far exceeded the original offense. Sometimes we see that the response isn't even in words, but it's a deliberate and pointed silence where someone just ignores and cuts someone off. We could point out there, but I imagine at times we see some version of this in our own homes as well, don't we? And when we do recognize it, I think we all know it's simply not Christ-like. We've gotten ourselves in the way once again. May we just say it, how glad we can be for the patience of God towards us. Let me look at Galatians 5:22, and Paul, he's telling us, Christian, you of all people on earth have reason for patience. More than that, you have the assurance that the Holy Spirit, he will grow this fruit of patience in you. He's going to work it in you. He's going to give it. And then we look at that promise, and then we look at ourselves, and maybe we wonder, if that's all true, why do I still find it so hard? Why am I so quick to respond with a jab? If you look at your life and you see that patience is a challenge for you, we don't want to completely despair. We need to recognize that, well, it may take time for this to grow in a believer's life. It's not something that's immediately fully formed. We're talking about fruit. It grows over time. You don't go from zero patience one day to perfect patience overnight. This growth in patience, it's part of our sanctification. And sanctification, it takes time. We can ask ourselves this question. Do you see growth in this fruit of the Spirit of patience? Do you see it in your relationships? You can look back over months and years. Don't just look back over days and hours. Look back further. Have you seen growth in this patience? And how do you obtain more patience? Sure, no matter how much patience you already have, it'd be good and you would love to have more. Well, in our second point, we can consider how we can obtain this patience. We want to see this again in the real world. I imagine that if you're like me, there are days when you do struggle with patience. You want to be more patient. You want to be more Christ-like in that patience. It's not always easy. You're going along, and you're patient right up until the moment that you aren't. It seems like it flips so quickly. What happened? Well, we're still fighting against our indwelling sin. So where does this true godly patience come from? As a fruit of the Spirit, patience comes from God. It's not natural to us. By nature, we are people who are quick to revenge, but patience is given by the Holy Spirit so that we can be more and more like Jesus. Now, we don't want to get this flipped on its head. Patience, it flows out of our union to Christ. It doesn't come before, and it isn't what unites us to Jesus. If we are going to be willingly, borrowing Abrakel's definition, willingly and joyfully and steadfastly patient and long-suffering with others in the true sense, it's going to come because we are already united to Christ. As believers in our relationship with Jesus Christ as our Savior, patience, it's not some foreign concept. Patience is every single day of your life. It's God's mercy new to you every single morning. For every single believer, we can all say, God has been so patient with me. That is His grace towards you. And it flows perfectly out of who God is. You see, patience is an attribute of God. We want that to hit our hearts. Our God, in the very definition of who He is patient. In Exodus 34, when God passes before Moses on Mount Sinai, God proclaims His name. And this is what He says of Himself. He says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He is patient. And isn't that the history of our entire world? You think of God, who has been wronged more than our God? Why does God not just blot everything out in a moment? After all, that's what this world deserved. That's what we all deserved. And yet, what we find instead is the patience of God. You go back all the way near the beginning to the flood when God is going to wash all of the mess away. Peter mentions it in 1 Peter 3 verse 20. He says, God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. We go on. We don't have to go far. You just read your Bible. His patience is just everywhere. You think of the Israelites in the wilderness wanting to turn back to Egypt. How many times do they complain against God, even as He's providing everything they need? How extremely long-suffering God was towards them. You trace the history of their Israel and their sin during the time of the judges, everyone doing what's right in their own eyes, not acknowledging God. And yet He doesn't cast them off. He brings them back. He raises up a judge. He restores them again and again. We see it into the kingdom period. And yet over and over again, God sends to them prophets to call them back. And even once they're in exile, God still would not forget His covenant promises. When we look at the church today, when we look at the way we live, when we look at the state of the church in North America, are we so much further along than Israel was? Don't we still test God's patience every day? God had been sinned against over and over and over and over, and yet His patience, and in His patience, His long-suffering held back His hand of justice. He's sinned against, but long-suffering. And instead of destroying everyone, what we see is in love, He actually sends His own Son. And then as we think of our Savior in Jesus, we see this patience over and over again. Do you want to learn and obtain godly patience? Go and learn at the feet of Jesus. What could be a greater proof of the patience of God than that God would meet our sin with His mercy, grace, and forgiveness through Jesus Christ? We think of our Savior in His patience and in His grace. Our Savior came to a world that was completely unworthy, a world that would test His patience continually. As you read the Gospels, are you amazed at how patient Jesus continually was? His disciples, those who are so close to Him, those who are walking with Him, they are so slow to understand. And yet He is patient. His own people, slow to believe. And even the Israelite people, largely rejecting Him. And yet He is patient. He submits himself willingly to the Father's timing and plan. He goes from Gethsemane to Calvary for our salvation, sinned against at every single step. And yet he's patient in the true sense. He doesn't come to the earth knowing there's a cross and just waiting for it to happen, but he's meeting with patience every single day the trials that are put in front of him. The path to the cross was not easy. The rejection that he faced from his own people, it was not easy. He was a man. He's fully God and fully man. At one point, we find in Matthew 17, Jesus looking on the unbelief of his people, and he says, "How long will I bear with you?" And yet he does, with incredible patience, unjustly despised, mocked, and rejected, and even crucified. Yet he does it all with long suffering. Jesus met each step, as A. Brackel drew out in his definition, willingly, even joyfully, and steadfastly enduring it all to the end. The long-suffering patience of God is seen in your redemption. Jesus shows you the fruit of the Spirit. He lives them. And through the Spirit, he gives them to you as well. Do you struggle as you wait on God's timing? Do you struggle to show patience to others? If you want to obtain this, go back and see how patient Christ has been to you. You see, the Apostle Paul, he gets somewhat lost in the wonder of the patience of Jesus towards him. He says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 16, the passage we read, "But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." That's Paul's testimony. "I was a persecutor of the church. I was killing believers. And yet what do we find? That the perfect patience of God to him, he wants us to know it." What of you? If someone asks you, what is your testimony? Is the patience of God towards you part of your answer? You can say, "God has been so patient with me." Do you stand amazed with Paul to look on your life and say, "Christ has been patient with me"? And you know what? Every single day, he continues to be patient. Even as we find patience hard, he is the one who has shown it to us, who continues to show it. We've received such gracious, patient mercy. We could ask, well, is God, as we've seen by so many examples, God to be long-suffering, but then his people to be something different? Are his people to be revengeful, cold, ungracious, snappy? How could that be? Dr. Hamilton, he puts it well. He says, "This long-suffering, this patience, which is integral to God, is to be integral to the people of God." You see it in our God, we should see also a reflection in ourselves. Reminds me of 1 John 4:19. There it says, "We love because he first loved us." Just so we can be patient because he has first been patient with us. Again, we learn and obtain patience at Jesus' feet. Our patience comes from him. To live the Christian life faithfully, we need this patience. And we can be encouraged. We can pray for it. God gives us that patience. If you are united to Christ, the Holy Spirit is conforming you to the image of Christ. Ask that God would give you this patience, that it would be increasing. And here again, we're reminded that the fruit of patience, it often grows in the soil of affliction. And that shouldn't surprise us. Being patient when everything is going smoothly isn't very stretching, is it? If someone just had a wonderful day, they don't come home to their wife and say, "You know, I really showed a lot of patience today." No, the patience comes out when we're being tested, when it's being stretched. We think of the context in Galatia when Paul reminds the Galatians of the fruit of the Spirit, he's talking to Christians who are living in this world with all of the challenges that come with that. They had disunity in the church. They had pressure from their ungodly culture. They were facing direct attack from these Judaizers. It was a hard, challenging time. If you look at your life and you see that you struggle with patience towards someone who just somehow they just have a way of getting under your skin. Maybe it's a child, maybe it's your spouse, it's a coworker, and they just seem to delight in tormenting you. Do you just passively tolerate it? What we find here as we think of this kind of patience is that the answer is far better. Instead of lashing out and trying to get the last word or the last jab, instead, we long and we pray for their true good. If they're a believer, we pray for their sanctification. And if they're an unbeliever, we plead for their salvation. We saw that this morning in the bringing of peace. We're longing that as we come to them, we would hold out Christ to them and they would be saved. We do not need to dig deep and just do better. No, for the believer, the answer is to look again to Jesus and who you now are in Him. Remember that He is the one who is holding your life in every single circumstance. To remember that He is the one who has given you His peace, but He also gives to you His patience. So may He allow your life to reflect the patience that He has shown to you. With that then, let's turn to our third point, how we live out patience. How we live out patience. And again, this world, it has a way of testing our patience. When we're wronged, our nature wants to blow up and take revenge. How desperately, as believers, we need to abide in Christ and He in us. We come up against our own selfishness. We come up against our desire for ease, we come up against our desire to get even, and we get disappointed with those that we love. They sin against us, we sin against them. And so we see the need for patience in so many different areas of our lives. But as a believer looking to Christ, we are those who are the strength of the Spirit to live with patience and long suffering. If we see a lack of patience in our life, we don't dismiss it and just say, well, you know, it's not my fault. They made me impatient. That's not the way that we are to grow in patience. It's not the way that we are to think of patience. We recognize the trials are real. And once more, we should step back. Where do these trials come from? These trials, they're also God-given. The trials are showing you that there is a lack of patience in your heart. And when we see the lack, we are to pray for His help. And we can be encouraged He gives us that help. We don't just say, well, you know, some Christians, they seem to have a whole lot of patience. That's really nice for them. They got that fruit of the Spirit, and I just got passed by. Moving on, I just carry on jabbing and poking and as if it doesn't matter. Not at all. In love for Christ and for each other, we are to pursue patience. And again, the pursuit of patience, it brings us right back to Christ. If we see that we lack patience under trial, we can rightly ask, why? We can ask, how is your walk with Christ? Are you feeding your soul? Are you prayerfully longing for Christlikeness? Does your hope look beyond this life? In Colossians 3, Paul describes Christlikeness like clothing that we put on. He says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. This patience, it's never just some fruit that's off hanging by itself on the side. This kind of patience, it's surrounded by the other fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actively growing all of them in our life. And so with the Spirit's help, we are putting off the old. We put on the new. It's the peace and the patience of Christ that's to rule in our hearts. If I'm wronged or hurt, I can take it to Jesus. I can leave it with Him. There can be so many kinds of trials that we can face. I immediately think of James 1, verse 2 and 3, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." There's an overlap in terminology here. There's great truth for us here. We may find it hard to count it all joy, but brothers and sisters, God uses even these hard trials to produce steadfastness. God, wanting us to grow in patience, doesn't just whisk you away at conversion and put you on top of some mountain by yourself and say, "Learn patience here." No, He puts you in this world. He puts you in your family. He brought you to this church. None of those things are a mistake. As we find in James 1, it's the Holy Spirit's school of sanctification that runs through these trials. These trials themselves, though we would likely not pick many of them, they have a purpose in God's perfect plan. And looking by faith to God, not to ourselves, to supply in the midst of them, we find that our patience really does grow. You can think of patience when we're treated unjustly and put it into gospel perspective. If you're a child of God, how precious are the promises of Romans 8? Romans 8, these are some of the most loved verses in all of Scripture, and rightly so. We think of patience in light of all of this. We're told, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are being killed all the day long, regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The very trials that we would test your patience, and yet the assurance that a believer has in every single thing that comes, that we are able to say that we belong to the Lord, that our life is held in His hands, our eternity bound up in Him. And say with 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Brothers and sisters, as we come near the end of the sermon, we recognize we are people continuing to struggle in a sinful world. You're going to leave here, and you're going to face different things in this week ahead. You will need to be long-suffering. The reality is, even in the church, there are times where you're going to disappoint each other. We're not in heaven yet. We do not have, all of us, perfect patience. In this life, we're going to have afflictions. You're going to be wronged, and you're going to wrong others. In the week ahead, when it happens, how will you react? Will you show forth the fruit of the Spirit, being slow to anger, quick to forgive, longing to restore, to bear with each other? We can keep the patient love of Christ before us. And though our trials at times can be very hard, we can remember they're not from an unloving hand, and they are not without purpose. We know who we belong to, and that makes all the difference. We know what awaits. May we be found faithful in our Christian duty in every single season, as we also await the return of Christ our Savior. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We praise you for your faithfulness, your steadfast love, your loving kindness, that you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Help us in the midst of the trials of this world, and also in the waiting that we have, that we would shine forth as those who know and love Christ. May we be disciples of our Savior, sitting frequently at his feet, amazed at the patience that he has shown to us. May we long for a greater level of holiness before you, that not just patience, but that we would have all of these fruit of the Spirit, that it would be so clear that we are those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love that is incorruptible. We take the promise that you hold forth for us in Romans 8. We cling to it with a hope that changes the way in which we endure all circumstances, that your steadfast love will never fail, that there is nothing that will separate us from that love. And we ask that you would help us in this week ahead, in the months, the years, whatever it is you've allotted for us, to be faithful in our response to whatever comes our way, that we would be patient in adversity, and we would be, in all this, looking continually to Christ, our Lord, our head, our joy. O Lord Jesus, we long for the day when you will return. We long and we wait, but we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.